Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be closing out the book of 2 Chronicles by reading through chapter 36 on our journey through the Word. In the magical land called the 1980s, where pop stars had hair like roller coasters and played keyboards like synthesized joy dispensers, there was a band called the Thompson Twins. Only they weren't twins. Never mind about that. They were weird. But they sung a song with the lyrics, "If I were king for just one day, just one thing I'd say, that love is all we need to get us through." Like I said, they were kind of weird. But I don't know what you'd say if you were king for just one day. What would you do? Well, I've got a little secret to let you in on today. You are king. You're not just king for a day. You're king every day. And you're the king of your life. You get to call the shots. You get to issue the orders. You get to allow what happens or doesn't. But, like Hosea and all of the other kings before him, you can choose either to submit to God as your king or stubbornly continue to rule your life the way you want. But in the end, when you do that, your life is just filler, and you rule over your little kingdom, and it's all just pretend. God is the real king, the true king over us all, despite what we think. You see, at death, the game is ended, the jig is up, the sham is over. Death shatters the illusion that we were ever the ones truly in charge. And as we see in the end of this chapter, even the kings of Judah had to realize that God was the only ruler, the only king. Verse 1 says, "The people of the land took Jehoahaz, the son of Hosea, and made him king in his father's place in Jerusalem." Jehoahaz was 23 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 3 months in Jerusalem. Then the kings of Egypt deposed him in Jerusalem and laid on the land a tribute of 100 talents of silver and a talent of gold. And the king of Egypt made Eliakim his brother king over Judah and Jerusalem and changed his name to Jehoiakim. But Necho took Jehoahaz, his brother, and carried him to Egypt. So, after Hosea was fatally wounded on the battlefield in the previous chapter, they carry him away and made his son Jehoahaz the king of Judah. But king of what? King over Jerusalem? The city-state that's left? As we've watched in the book of 2 Chronicles, we've seen more and more get taken away from all these kings until now Jerusalem was all that was left. But even that was taken, and finally, along with it, the king himself, gone. One day, we will lose everything like Judah and its little kingdom of Jerusalem, including our souls if we're not submitted to our king. That's why Jesus told the story of the foolish farmer who kept putting everything into his storehouse, storing up, thinking he was getting ahead, until at death he realized he had fallen behind. What does it profit a man if he gains the world, Jesus said, but loses his only soul? In verse 5 we're told, Nebuchadnezzar, ruler of Babylon, comes and takes Jehoiakim himself. Verse 5, Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. Insert my comment, because he was allowed to. He did what was evil in the sight of the Lord his God. Against him came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and bound him in chains to take him to Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar also carried part of the vessels of the house of the Lord to Babylon and put him in his palace in Babylon. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoiakim and the abominations that he did and what was found against him, behold, they are written in the books of the kings of Israel and Judah, and Jehoiakim his son reigned in his place. You see, in the same way, death comes for us all. And then in verse 9 through 10, we read about another king, Jehoiakim, whose rule as a king is treated like a throwaway reign, a wasted life, without much more to comment on, other than he was there and then he wasn't. The sad way that 2 Chronicles is written at the end is to pretty much sum up these kings by saying nothing they did was of any significance. It all counted for nothing. They were filler, like extras in a film. For my friends, when eternity rolls away time, and the universe revolves around God as the planets around the sun, and everything is finally in its right place, what will a life like these phony kings really matter? They ruled over what? For what? For how long? It was a temporary illusion that they were allowed to rule over everything, and they completely wasted their reign. In this chapter, Necho, king of Egypt, and Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, are both pictures of God here. They serve as a reminder that someone more powerful is always truly in control and must be submitted to. The kings of Judah should have looked at these two kings and realized they weren't really kings at all, causing them to look up to God, the king, who kept delivering those who followed him faithfully. In the book of Isaiah, God names Cyrus as his servant, the Persian king who would come and carry out his will for Israel by allowing them to come back after Nebuchadnezzar carried them away. You see, God himself was in control, and even these foreign kings were under the sovereign rule of God. If you've ever heard someone talk about God's sovereignty, the term sovereign means kingship. It means God does whatever he wants, and nobody can stop him. The irony is that the phony kings of Judah in this chapter just wouldn't listen. And in verse 11, the stubbornness of the final king, Zedekiah, is chronicled. Verse 11, Zedekiah was 21 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. He did what was evil in the sight of the Lord his God. He did not humble himself before Jeremiah the prophet, who spoke from the mouth of the Lord. He also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who made him swear by God. He stiffened his neck and hardened his heart against turning to the Lord, the God of Israel. All the officers of the priests and the people likewise were exceedingly unfaithful, following all the abominations of the nations, and they polluted the house of the Lord that he had made holy in Jerusalem. Verse 15, the Lord, the God of their fathers, sent persistently to them by his messengers because he had compassion on his people and his dwelling place. Verse 16, but they kept mocking the messengers of God, despising his words and scoffing at his prophets until the wrath of the Lord rose against his people until there was no remedy. Hear the strain, my friends, that God never has his plan A to carry us off, to judge us. Plan A is to save us, but at the end of the day, he won't force us. He won't make us be saved. That's something that we have to submit to. Jeremiah was the key prophet at the end of this book who got to witness the destruction in the end and witness to the king. And Jeremiah would prophesy that the Israelites would be carried away into captivity for 70 years. Why 70 years? Well, every 7 years, they were meant to have a Sabbath year where everyone stopped working the land to let it renew, and they took a year off to worship. But in Israel's history, that had never been done. Therefore, God says, I'm going to take back those 70 Sabbath years. So, over 490 years, they hadn't kept one. Therefore, God says, I'm taking them back. So, for 70 weeks of years, or 70 years, they would be in captivity. And Daniel reads the scroll of Jeremiah and figures that he's at the end of that 70-year period. And you can read about that in the book of Daniel. But then Daniel gives a prophecy that just like 490 years of Sabbath years weren't kept, he prophesies 490 years into the future to the time that the Messiah would arrive. That's right, and be declared the rightful king on Palm Sunday. I want to thank you for joining me on this journey through the Word. We start off by talking about the kings, and we end by talking about the King of Kings, the one who is truly fit to reign. They wouldn't recognize him either on Palm Sunday. And I want to encourage you to recognize him and bow to him today as you continue your journey through the Word.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free, so tell a friend. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.